who is worthy? In the visions of the Apocalypse we read of a wonderful scroll in the right hand of the great king who sits upon the throne of universal dominion. This scroll is a forceful representation of the divine plan, originally existing only in the mind of God, and which could not be made known to men until someone was found worthy to open the seals and display it to view. But no one in heaven nor on earth was able to open the scroll, neither to look thereon, until one came whom the Revelator describes as the Lion, the strong one of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, of whom the testimony is given, "Thou art worthy to take the scroll, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed to God, by thy blood out of every kindred and people and nation, and hast made them unto our God a kingdom and priesthood, and they shall reign on the earth." Revelation 5:1-5:9-10. Accepting the bare promise, written on the outside of the scroll versi, of salvation through the seed of the woman, nothing could be known of the wonderful scheme for human restitution until the Son of God, having left the glory of the spiritual nature, took our nature, and by the sacrifice of himself redeemed us from death. Then, having his righteousness imputed to us by faith, we are accounted worthy to look upon the scroll, as he opens the seals one after another. Great was the favor bestowed upon the strong one of the tribe of Judah in being permitted to open the seals to carry out and make manifest the grand designs of infinite love, and great is the privilege of those who are permitted to look thereon as the seals are opened. It is not our purpose here, however, to treat of the peculiar symbols relating to the opening of the seals, but rather of what constitutes worthiness in us to look thereon, and what favor of God to us is implied in this privilege of looking. The knowledge of God's purposes is due only to those able and anxious to cooperate with him in their development, for God does not display his plans to satisfy mere idle curiosity. First, then, if we would comprehend what is revealed within the scroll, we must have faith in what is written on the outside, the promised redemption through the precious blood of Christ, and must be sincerely desirous of knowing the details of God's plan in order to an earnest cooperation with it. In other words, there must be the earnest inquiry arising from a heart grateful for the promise of life through the Redeemer, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Such, and such only, are worthy to know, and such only ever come to see, in the sense of understanding and appreciating, the deep things of God written within the scroll. Such are the called according to the divine purpose, to be educated in, and to serve the truth. Such are the righteous for whom the light, truth, is sown. Such was our Lord's attitude when he said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Hebrews 10:7. He was meek and lowly of heart, and ever ready to render implicit obedience to the will of God, and it is to those who are similarly meek that he was sent to preach the good tidings, Isaiah 61:1, to open the scroll. "The meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way." Psalms 25:9. If any man have this evidence of worthiness, this acquaintance with the truth, let him rejoice in his privilege, and by his works manifest his continued worthiness. This worthiness is inquired for not only at the beginning, but all along the path of light. If we are not found worthy by the various tests applied from time to time, we cannot proceed in the path of light, and unless the unfaithful ones arouse themselves to greater diligence and watchfulness, the light that already is in them will become darkness. And how great, how intense must be the darkness of one cast out of light. Matthew 6:23. To find the glorious hope that once inspired our hearts slipping away, and the truth whereon we built that hope beginning to seem like an old song, or an idle tale, or as relics of the past to be displaced at any time by any plausible subterfuge of error which our wily adversary may be pleased to palm off as advanced divine truth, are indications that should arouse anyone who discovers them to a realization of the fact that he is going into darkness, a darkness that will only become the more intense as he slips and slides along the backward track. All along the way, as we have said, we will find tests applied to prove our worthiness, to proceed from knowledge to knowledge, and from grace to grace. Who is worthy? Worthy to receive the truth, worthy to continue in the truth, worthy to suffer and to endure hardness, as a good soldier, for the truth, and finally to be exalted to power and great glory, when truth and righteousness shall be exalted in the earth, and their glorious triumph begun. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me." Luke 9:23. At the very beginning of our course, we each found the cross confronting us, and had we not taken it up, we would not have been counted worthy even to look with intelligent appreciation into the precious truths of God's plan. And as we advance from step to step and find the truth increasingly precious, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb, we have these additional evidences of continued worthiness, and should greatly rejoice in them as such. Our possession of these truths has thus far proved us meek enough to discard the popular theology of the nominal church, and be counted as heretics, turncoats, fanatics, cranks, or whatever our former friends are, in their ignorance, now pleased to term us. And it has proved us meek enough to bear willingly this reproach for the great joy of us realizing the Lord's approval, and of seeing by faith the great blessings in store for us if faithful unto the end. But let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall, for sudden and sharp will be many of the tests applied to prove our continued faithfulness. The world, the flesh, and the devil all conspire to allure, ensnare, and overcome us. The world will present its allurements through friends or wife or husband or children. They will try to encroach upon the clearly defined line which you have drawn between yourself and the world. Then the flesh will grow weary in fighting the good fight of faith, weary of the reproaches of the world, weary of the alienation of former friends, and weary of the self-denying, sacrificing, and daily cross-bearing life. Then if you turn aside for a moment to ponder on these things, the devil will quickly see his opportunity, and will cunningly devise some trial specially suited to your peculiar condition of mind, and a crisis comes in your experience, the result of which will prove the exact strength of your devotion to God, and His truth. These tests God permits, and even desires to have come upon us, in order that we may be thoroughly tried and proved either worthy or unworthy of the great reward He has in keeping for those who remain faithful unto death. The Lord is seeking His precious jewels. Many of them are indeed diamonds in the rough. The real diamond is a noble, loyal, faithful character, devoted, and uncompromising in its allegiance to God. Sometimes the circumstances of life have deprived such of education or culture, and have left them only sufficient means for the barest necessities of life. But no matter, God's eye is on them, character is what He is looking for, and in due time, when that character is sufficiently developed, confirmed, tested and proved worthy of exaltation, He can, and will add to it all the glories of knowledge and wisdom and grace and beauty. But first He will subject it to all the necessary tests. If it is a true diamond, it will receive, and it will also transmit to others, the light of divine truth. Nothing so gloriously reflects the light as the diamond, and nothing so gloriously reflects the truth as the worthy character of the true and faithful saint. Another way of testing a diamond is to put it under pressure. If it is a real diamond, it will stand the pressure, for the diamond is the hardest substance known, but if it is not a real diamond, it will go to pieces, and must prove itself spurious. So God allows us to come under the constant pressure of years of toil and care and self-sacrifice to see how we will endure, and blessed is that diamond-proved character that endures to the end. James 12, Matthew 10:22. Sometimes the tests come in the way of trials of faith, and we are called upon to prove ourselves whether we be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5, when some subtle errors are presented to us as advanced truth. But if we know the voice of the Good Shepherd, we will not be easily beguiled. We remember the inspired counsel, to the law, and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, Isaiah 8:20, and to the law, and the testimony we go, and, relying implicitly upon this as the infallible teaching of the Spirit of God, we are enabled to arrive at definite, clear and positive doctrine. We are not left in doubt as to what is truth, but are enabled to give a solid scriptural reason for the hope that is in us, on which hope we dare implicitly to rest our faith, and with humble boldness, to successfully withstand the assaults of error. But oh, how dead to selfish ambition, how fully devoted to the will of God such must be! Let us, dearly beloved, as we realize that thus far God has counted us worthy to look upon the scroll of His plan which has been unsealed for us by our blessed Lord Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, prove our worthiness, to continue to look therein, and to read the wondrous things of His law, by faithful obedience and loyalty to it in all things. Let us not undervalue our great privilege in being counted worthy to suffer some reproach and some hardness, as good soldiers, for the truth's sake, and also in being counted worthy to have some part in the blessed ministry of reflecting the light of divine truth. Let us prove ourselves jewels of rarest value, diamonds indeed, heartily receiving, and beautifully transmitting to others the light of truth, and faithfully enduring the severest pressure that God may permit to come upon us. 4. If faithful in these small things, we shall in due time be counted worthy also to reign with Christ in power and great glory. Let us not be like some who have only a little good earth on the surface of their hearts, while the heart is really hard and stony. Let the good seed of divine truth sink down and take deep root, and then let it branch out in the light, and bear its abundant fruitage to the Master's glory. So shall we be accounted worthy to see the King, in His beauty, and to live and reign with Him as His beloved bride and joint heir. And when to the worthy Lamb that was slain the voices of the multitudes ascribe blessing and honor and glory and power, they will also exclaim, "Let us be glad, and rejoice, and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." Revelation 5:13, 19:7. 1. R3103, Z1902, page 331, page 1.